The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
I see. This is Perched on the Top Rope. And I'm the boogeyman. And I'm coming to get ya!
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, Lee Walker, and making his return back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, RN is back with us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a while. It feels kind of weird, too, to record because I'm in a new space, and I can't even remember the last time I was on camera.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. Yeah, and I love the new setup so far, though, especially with the knives and the swords in the background and everything.
Oh, those are all swords. It's katana, a long sword, and the Elder Wand. I didn't put it in his own rack yet.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I like it so far. Yeah. I like the color too. I like the green.
Yeah, like that's my favorite color. Even though I hate the Eagles, I'm a staunch Giant fan. Green's my favorite color. So that was we just built the house and we just moved in beginning of September. I was like, I don't give a shit what you do to the house. I don't care. I just want my office to be green. That's all I want. And it's crazy because they fucked up and painted our master bedroom green. And so everybody thought she was going to be pissed about it. They have to redo it and everything. And she was like, actually, I kind of fucking love it. So our master bedroom and this room are the same color.
Heck yeah. I like it. I love green. Green's my favorite color too, actually. Yeah. But I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a Bills fan.
So, well, it's the same thing. We're blue and red and our favorite color is green, like the Eagles.
That's right. I don't know if you've been paying attention as far as, you know, what's going on fully in wrestling and everything like that.
Yeah.
I got to, like, go to Madison Square Garden this past Monday for Raw. Totally awesome.
That's my last thing I have to do at the Garden. I've seen Jordan play there. I've seen the Knicks a few times. I've been to both Yankee stadiums. I haven't been to MetLife yet to a game, but I did like a tour. But yeah, that's my one thing I need to do left on my list is to see wrestling at the Garden.
Dude, you got to do it. It was my first time. It was amazing.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. Dude, it was
like my family's from New York, even though I live in Ohio, but that's why. And we used to go there every summer and pick my older brother up to bring him to Ohio. We'd always go to a game or something when we were there in the summers. That's why I haven't been to the football stadiums yet, because they weren't fucking playing when we went in there. But
dude, that's incredible. I love that.
I love arguing with these people on the internet because I look like they don't realize how old I am, and I have to tell people I've seen Mike play in the Garden. I didn't watch YouTube skits or anything like that. I saw it in person. Might have been for the nosebleeds. He might have been this fucking tall, but I've seen Jordan play in the Garden.
I'm jealous you got to see Jordan play. That's awesome.
Fuck him. I hated him. I'm a Knicks fan. What do you mean?
I was a Knicks fan too. I mean, it's Jordan though. Like,
no, he's not my goat. Despite the pure hatred I have for him, it just doesn't. I don't like comparing it because he was playing plumbers and construction workers. And these dudes that in this day and age in the NBA are bigger, taller, faster, stronger. Like, LeBron would have been a center if he played when MJ played.
You're right. Different
same
generations.
Size as fucking, same size as Alonzo Mourning.
I I think we can say that, like, when it comes to any sport, you know, yeah. When you look at past
and I hate the I hate the comparisons because, like, oh, they couldn't play in our era. Yes, you couldn't play with them. These dudes, like, y'all smoking cigars and getting fucked up before the game and stuff. Like, these dudes are putting millions of dollars in their body. Like, you old fucks wouldn't make it halfway through the game with these dudes now.
Yeah, like, you'd see Babe Ruth, like, smoking cigars and, like, drinking bourbon in the dugout.
Yeah, literally
for crying out
in
loud.
The dugout.
Yeah, for crying out loud, man. Freaking crazy. So, it comes to WWE, and something, you know, that happens with every superstar. You know that at some point they're going to retire. If I went back to 2002, to 17-year-old myself and said, "Hey, do you think in 2025 John Cena is going to retire? I'm not even thinking about 2025."
No. Shit, how do you, he didn't debut till 2002, did he? Or was it 2001? I can't, I always forget which one it was.
It was 02.
Oh, two, yeah. I didn't
So
realize you were that we were that close in age. I thought you were younger than me, like everybody else is. I was that was my senior year of high school.
yeah, now I'm one of the old guys. I'm one of the older guys in the group. I'm one of the older ones.
Me and you are though, because we're both, you're 41, right? About to be 41.
I'm 41 October 4th.
I turned 41 August 9th.
Yeah, so we're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd watch, you know, I remember watching his debut, you know, smacking Kurt Angle across the face, all of that. And never in a million years, or at least in 20 some odd years, would I be thinking that John Cena is going to retire. And I have to admit, out of all the wrestlers that I have watched over these years, I have never seen a retirement tour or even to the likes of the Last Time Is Now tournament for the John Cena's final opponent at Saturday Night
Yeah.
Main Event, December 13th. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
That's because there's only been two people. There's only been another person like him, and that's Hogan. That's why, like, when we were talking about before, like, I agree. I don't like any of it. I think it's bullshit. But because of what he means to this era of wrestling and the era that he really took control of when it was, when it fucking sucked and it was PG-13, like, I understand it from that point of view, and like that's why I'm okay with it. But honestly, I've never liked John Cena. I never have.
Yeah, so I actually had a period where I stopped watching wrestling, and I remember Cena's debut and everything, and I had stopped watching, and I started watching again in 2008. So there's like 6 years where I miss a lot of John
Yeah.
Cena stuff.
Which to me, that's his best run, the Dr. Thugonomics shit before he turned to the kid superhero. But the thing
Yeah.
why I never liked him, and what I noticed, like, even as a kid, well, not really a kid, but a young adult, like, he was being a black person when they could have just had a black person do what he was doing. And that's why I've never, like, I've grown to appreciate John Cena for what he meant. And like, I'm one of the only people in our group that I never stopped watching wrestling. Like, I'm 40 years old and I've been watching since I was 5 years old. My mom worked for Time Warner, so I got all the pay-per-views for free. And like when the TiVo boxes were coming out, they had us testing, and the only person that watched wrestling on the floor was me. So I got every single fucking pay-per-view free. ECW, WCW, all of them. So like I never stopped watching. But like to me, even then I thought that like he's just being a black dude. Like what, you don't have a, you got fucking awesome black dudes on the roster. Why aren't they doing, why aren't you letting them be themselves? Because that's how most of them probably are in real life anyway. Why won't you just let them do this? And like, so like even then, like that's why I've never, like I said, I appreciate John Cena for what he is and who he is, but like I've never been a fan of his because of that. And like I know all Arn's pulling the race card, but like seriously, like especially the Doctor of Thugonomics shit. Not so much when he turned into the superhero, but the Doctor of Thugonomics shit, that was fucking me in 2002. Fucking Mitchell and Ness jerseys, fitted hats and Tims and shit. That was literally what I was on at that same exact time.
You know, for how Ron Killings is, that had his spot all day. You know, he can rap. He's doing like country music with rap now.
It was
Like
fire. His songs are fire. Like my girlfriend is in love with his country stuff.
I saw him in Binghamton, New York, man. It's amazing. Like
Yeah.
I'm not a country music guy, to be honest with you,
Neither am
but
I.
like
No, not at all.
it's good. Like
Yeah.
I was astonished. I was like, oh.
I thought it
I
was like
hope,
Shaboozey or somebody when she started playing. She's
right?
like, "You're not. No, you're not. It's not. It's fucking Ron Killings. It's the truth." I'm like, "Shut the fuck up." And she showed me. I guess she saw it on TikTok or something or whatever. And yeah, like so she loves all the songs.
You know, that could have been him, and they even had him like rapping, you know, even when he was K Quick with Road Dogg.
And that's another thing too. Like he was actually cool back then. He's still doing the same shit now. So now he's like your unk that's fucking still fucking corny and shit, trying to act like he's young and shit, hanging out with the nephews and shit. But like that's exactly what I'm talking about. Shad and them, Crime Time. fucking the Nation of Domination, D-Lo, The Rock. Like, you had black people, black dudes that could have played that role.
Yeah, in Crime Time, I don't know if you remember this or not, but they used a lot of stereotypes. And they even made
Yeah.
it a point on WWE.com to be like, hey, we're going to be using racial stereotypes, but we're going to do it in kind of a funny way, like Saturday Night Live kind of skits. This is literally what was on
Yeah.
WWE.com as like almost like a pre-warning to let people know, like, don't get mad about this. This is not how we feel. This is just characters they're playing. But like, they could have done that. They could one of, Shattered JTG, they could have been Dr. Thugonomics. You had Ron
Right.
Killings, you bring up the great point. There was plenty of black talent on the roster to be that.
And then the worst part about that is them doing that disclaimer, they didn't need to, because the one time you might have had a chance to actually grab minorities, that was us. Whether you were stereotyping or not, that how they dressed, how they talked, all of that, which is why John Cena fit in with him, because he was pretty much stealing the shit that they were doing in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had a chance to grab a whole demographic that, quite honestly, they still haven't been able to grab and keep hold of. Because, like, I think one or two, like, real black wrestlers that are good that I could, like, cheer for it and, like, hey, they look like me. Like, and that's it's shitty to me. Like, this far in, what, how many black champions have we had? What, like, three?
Yeah. Not
Even though
many.
The Rock claims he's not black, which is bullshit, but other than that, yeah, like, John Cena is the closest one we ever had to having a black champion, and that's why I've always hated it. And like, I just like I couldn't get down with it. As much as I love the freestyles and shit and the jerseys and shit, like I said, his entire dress was how I dressed back then. Them big ass
Yeah.
fucking Mitchell and Ness jerseys, New York fitted Tims with shorts and all that shit. That's literally how I dress. And then this white dude, Marky Mark, is doing it on TV.
Wannabe Marky Mark at that.
And I
Oh
know I wouldn't even
man.
say that. And honestly, like I said, as much as I hate it, his fucking raps, the album, kind of fucking bangers. Like, I'm not even gonna like I as much as I hate the shit and like I don't want to participate in this shit, but like, I'm not gonna lie, them rap songs are fucking fire.
The album's pretty good. You know who else I give credit for doing a rap album, and people kind of laugh at me when I say it? Macho Man Randy Savage, because it's totally unlike him.
And the beats he had, like, he sucked. He did. But the beat,
Yeah.
whoever was doing his fucking beats on that thing, they wasn't
Had
fucking
it.
around. And you could tell that was somebody that really loved Macho Man growing up. Was like, I'm gonna give my dude the
Yeah, for real. Oh my
shit I got. And
God.
that's the thing too, like, as a black person, like, I don't think people in wrestling, because wrestling's such a toxic fucking, let's be honest, it can be racist a lot at times with fans, but they don't understand how much wrestlers influence us black kids. You know what I'm saying? Like Razor Ramon in the hood with that chain on and shit, that pick is fucking iconic. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Ric Flair, how many fucking songs are the people got about Ric Flair?
A lot.
The Migos fucking rapping about Undertaker and Kurt Angle and shit, ankle like a bitch like Kurt Angle and shit. Like, wrestling did mold. It was a huge part of a lot of black kids' life, because our grandmothers loved it because they were from the South and it was like their stories. That's how
Yeah.
I got into wrestling. My grandmother was into wrestling because it came on right before her stories. She called and she's like, it's the same thing, baby. They just hitting each other. And I've been hooked ever since.
I love that. So, John Cena announces this tournament, right? It's the last time is now. And me personally, I'm gonna go down the list of all the names, aside from the two who were like the surprises. You had Rusev that took on Damian Priest, Sheamus taking on Shinsuke Nakamura, Jey Uso taking on The Miz, LA Knight against a mystery opponent, Javon Evans versus Gunther, Solo Sikoa had a mystery opponent, and then we have two matches that haven't happened yet. So
Yeah.
fans, when you're watching this, those matches might have already happened by the time you watch this. So we have Finn Balor versus Penta and Carmelo Hayes taking on Bronson Reed. Now, I gotta ask you, RN, You said you have not stopped watching wrestling once. Out of all those names I listed, Cena did say there's going to be, people he's never wrestled, people from NXT, and even some surprises in there. Do you think we got what he called for?
Yes and no. Like it, and it's what WWE always does. Like they always they give you these big delusions of grandeur and shit, and they only go halfway. Like they gave us one NXT person. The two surprises, I mean, Dolph Ziggler was a dub surprise, but like everybody else is old motherfuckers except for fucking Melo. Which I understand like those are his opponents. Like in Rusev winning, like that was a no-brainer to me. I knew he was gonna win that because he's one of John Cena's bigger opponents for the US title. Like, and that's who I expected it to be. And like The Miz, I wish The Miz had won. Because to me, I think he's the most deserving. If I had to pick an old guy, I'd pick The Miz. But I think they're just setting it up for Gunther to win, especially in like and like you said, we said with the black person thing, like Javon Evans would have been perfect for this slot. He's young, he's hip, you know what I'm saying? Like people get older people and younger people get it, like everybody loves him. This would have been something to throw him to fucking shoot him to the fucking moon. But again, like I
Dude.
said, they always half step everything.
Dude, he had a banger with Leon Slater at Bound for Glory. Amazing match. And apparently NXT had to do with how that match went, which explains why the match ended the way it did. And that was a terrible way. They should not have ended that match the way they did. I'm glad that you brought up some of these names that you brought up, like Rusev and Sheamus have some history with Cena. The Miz 100% should have defeated Jey Uso. I don't care what anyone says. If I had to pick all the names that were there, The Miz has probably the most history. Main event at WrestleMania with John Cena. Like, none of those
And
other names up.
it's not even that he has the most history, it's that he has the most significant moments.
Yeah, with
Because
Cena.
they didn't feud a long time, but like you said, it was a WrestleMania fucking match and he won.
Yeah, in the main
How
event.
many people can you name that? How many people can you name to beat John Cena at a WrestleMania? What is it?
Well, there
Triple
is,
H and Miz, that's it, ain't it?
yeah, there isn't a single one on this list that
And
got that chance.
both heels, by the way, too.
Yeah. And I'm so the LA Knight and his mystery opponent was Zack Ryder, and that took place in Albany, New York, which I was supposed to go to, and I missed that. So you probably would have saw me on TV because I probably would have been the only one screaming their head off like a maniac, jumping up and down like a schoolgirl who just saw NSYNC for the first time.
If it
You know
was
what
on
I mean?
SmackDown, I probably didn't see it because I literally almost never get to watch SmackDown.
So, I will admit, Zack Ryder did come out to he, they played like the more Def Rebel of his themes. You know, they play the older one, which the older one I feel like people would have resonated with more, and he didn't really get a pop from the crowd when his music hit. There wasn't really a pop at all for him, which surprised me, but I feel like they
Why would
should
it
have
surprise
saved.
you? Like he wasn't a guy like that when he left. He
No.
became a guy afterwards.
Yeah. But what they should have done to get Zack Ryder that pop, they should have done a reversal, and it should have been Zack Ryder at Madison Square Garden, because that's much closer to Long Island. After all, he was the Long Island Iced Z, and they didn't do that. He would have gotten a bigger pop. Dolph Ziggler would have gotten a pop no matter
No way,
where he
and
was.
that's kind of my point of what I'm saying. Like, he's an internet guy. Remember he was a shitty mid-carder for real when he left, but then with the using the internet title and all that other shit, so like he's kind of like an indie darling. So like a main show like SmackDown is gonna have casuals and you know what I'm saying, people that aren't really hip to wrestling as a whole. So that's why he didn't get a pop. Like I mean, that's perfectly understandable, honestly. Like that was they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, they should have had him at Madison Square Garden, so close to Long Island. The fans would have loved that. Madison Square Garden would have loved that because Dolph Ziggler gets a pop no matter what. And he had a really good pop at Madison Square Garden. I won't deny that. I just feel like if they would have switched the matches, and by the way, I'm not happy that both of them lost. Like, you have only two surprises in this whole tournament, and you have them both lose in the first round. One of them should have at least advanced into the second round, into the quarterfinals.
Is Zack Ryder signed, or is he still like?
No,
he that's has a why.
Merch.
Like,
he's got a merch deal. He's got a merch deal. He's not even signed with TNA, where I believe Dolph.
Dolph is signed. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like Nick or whatever. But no, that's why I don't mind that. Like, and you know how WWE is. They're never going to fully put over someone else that they're working with. So like to me, like, yes, I agree. Especially Dolph. I think Dolph should have went deeper. But like I get it, and I'm not mad at that part of it because they're from two separate businesses, and neither one of them really signed. So you don't gain much from them advancing so far because all you're going to do is hype up the other people, and it's not really doing anything for you because after the tournament, they're going back to where they came from.
Yeah, and the only thing I'm seeing realistically out of this tournament is we're looking at more higher upper mid-card WWE people to, yeah, you know, be in this tournament for namesake. That's what it is. It's namesake.
Yeah.
And I found this interesting. We got Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler as the surprises. You had brought up like how WWE hypes everything up and we end up getting some half-assed stuff, right?
Right.
Well, Tony Khan was on Ariel Helwani's show, right, the other day, and he said that WWE did not reach out to try and get Adam Copeland Edge to be in the tournament. Now, if I was WWE, it doesn't surprise me either, but if I was WWE, that's someone I would have reached out for and tried to work something out with AEW on that end. But obviously that didn't happen. No.
Because to them, it's like a sign of weakness because TKO is on some squash type shit. Like, and I love how everybody blames Triple H for everything when clearly he's not the one in charge. He's not making these decisions.
No,
like, and of course, he gets blamed for everything.
And we've seen how TKO is running things. Just
right.
I think it's more of them than him, because I think if it was just him, I think we would probably see WWE in a little better situation. And I think this tournament would probably be a little better too, to be honest with you.
And I think it would have included other federations and stuff too, because Triple H has shown, like, that's the part I hate when everybody blames him for everything. He's shown that he will make minorities champion. He's shown that he wants women to be on the star. He's shown that he's willing to work with other promotions. So now why all of a sudden, when he's got the keys to the fucking car, why does everybody think he's locking all the doors, not letting anybody in now all of a sudden? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, that's how I know casuals and how I know people that TKO is running this. Because, like, I don't understand how everybody just completely forgets how Triple H ran NXT. First women's main event. Numerous black champions, all of this shit. How is he getting blamed for shit that he's done his entire career up until he took over as chief creative officer? Like, I don't know. I never could get that or understand that.
Yeah, there's a lot more working behind the scenes that we really get to see. And I think it's kind of hard to blame Triple H. Well, yeah, he had the keys to the car, but I think he only started it because my honest opinion is he's sitting in the passenger seat. He's not driving. TKO is driving.
He's listening to the GPS. That's what I'm. Yeah. That's what I'm on. He's listening to the GPS. And when taking the way the GPS goes, instead of trying to go to shortcuts that you know or this quicker way that you know, no, I'm sticking to the roadmap.
Yeah, and it is what it is. Out of the two matches though that are still left, which is Finn Balor and Penta and Carmelo and Bronson on SmackDown, do you see any twists in any of these matches?
I think Carmelo's going to win.
Bro. Yeah.
I'm hoping that's how it is. And like the thing that pisses me off too is like all these people are Triple H's guys. Like he's the reason why you know who any of them are. So like why would he do his best not to keep propping them up? Like, just look at the main events of WrestleMania. Those are all his guys except for Cody.
Yeah.
All the top guys are his guys except for the Usos and fucking Cody and CM Punk. My bad. Three of them. But everyone else, Seth, Shinsuke, fucking Finn, all these people are his guys. Like, so it's like Melo. Shit. Like I said, Melo. Actual black champion that's not shucking and jiving for these white folks. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are all his people.
I think that, or at least what I hope, for the Bronson and Carmelo match is that there's outside interference that cost Bronson the
That's
match.
a, I'm, it's going to be something to do with war games that cost him. That
Yeah.
that's what I've thought.
I think for him, it's way too close with war games. And, I think it's a, it happened. If it happens, it's a great swerve. I'll be ecstatic because I would like to see somebody in this tournament that is not one of those upper higher mid card kind of guys, where at least
Right.
this is someone that, like, if I look at the list of names in here, I would like to see like Carmelo. I would have liked to have seen Javon Evans. I would have liked to seen those two names get, if Carmelo gets further. But Javon, as you said, he should have been someone to go further, because at least these are two guys, they're younger,
They're
hungry,
black. Go ahead and say it. You can say it.
they're
They're
black,
black. You can say
and they can
it.
they get the opportunity to show off their talent wrestling John Cena, but realistically, I don't think we get there.
No, I don't think we will. At the end of the day, it's probably gonna be Gunther, like all the reports have been saying, like
Yeah.
especially how they set it up with Javon and all that. Hopefully, the best thing I can hope for is Melo versus Gunther in the finals. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And when I look at the list, there's really only two young names. And now, well, one young name
I
that
don't. Were he one of them even born when fucking when Cena debuted? Like seriously, like Melo can't be no more than like 25, 26.
Yeah, he can't be. There's
And
no way.
Javon was what? Javon's 20, 21, so like
Yeah, he's barely
neither one of them
21.
were alive.
Yeah, he's barely 21. Those are
Yeah.
names that I would like to see, like, test John Cena. The rest of these guys, LA Knight is in his 40s. Jey Uso is close to 40s. Sheamus is closer to 50. Rusev is closer to 45. Finn Balor, closer to 45. Penta, closer to 40. Gunther, I'm pretty sure in his 30s. Jey
But
Uso in his upper 30s.
that's my thing too. Like, you could have used this as a litmus test to see what they would do in these positions on the card. Because each match they got going forward is going to be someone that's a little higher up, like you said, on that mid card tier. So like as
Yeah.
they go through the tournament, it's almost like working your way up to be the Intercontinental Champion back in the day when it was the workhorse title. Like,
Yeah.
and you get to see them in different cities and in different crowds. And see how they go up against these dudes that are established, like you said, established, older, upper middle card veterans who are right there. Like, so you can see if they stack up or not and how the crowd reacts to them. Like, it would have been a perfect measuring stick for that, which I'll give them a little bit of leeway because we don't know how it's going to go with Melo. But I definitely, in a perfect world, is Melo versus Gunther in the finals.
I would like that, but I gotta ask you, what do you think it is about Gunther that they want to have him in the finals if they go that route, if that happens?
He's a dominant champ that's handpicked by Triple H, stamped by Shawn Michaels, and no scandals or no BS attached to him. And he's really a stand-up guy. Like he didn't even want to leave England because he wanted to stay closer to his family and stuff. That's what took him so long to come over here. Like, no scandals, always been a leader in the locker room and stuff and everything. And like, it's somebody that Triple H brought up himself. So he has that dominant heel champion. And eventually you can turn him fucking face too. And he can still be like that tweener. Like that's what that's what I thought they've always seen him. Like, it's the Intercontinental title run, like, cemented my thoughts for that. Like, no one's had the belt that long since we were fucking kids.
Right.
And he's lost what, maybe like 5 to 10 matches, and he's been in the WWE for like 4 or 5 years now almost.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is during his, I believe, main, just so far, just main roster alone, I believe, he has been a champion for over 80% of his
Of his
career on
time,
the
yeah,
main
that's what
roster.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's literally lost maybe what three or four times in 5 years or
Yeah.
4 years. How long he's been up? 4 years he's been up, going on four.
I mean, he retired Goldberg. He was Goldberg's last match. So there's something about him. And I think
And
within
he's
the
got that old school feel that I know Triple H loves because Nobody can tell me shit about Triple H. I love Triple H. That's my favorite wrestler of all time. He's the fucking GOAT to me. I don't care what anybody says. And like, he just lines up with like Killer Kowalski and all those old dudes that train Triple H. But no knee pads and shit, fucking tight ass black trunks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, beat the shit out of you, chops and kicks and shit, one power bomb, get the fuck up out of there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's another thing I think that kind of why Triple H, or if it's Triple H, which I think it is kind of putting all his eggs in that basket.
And you know, you're right, because Gunther resonates with old school fans. Resonates with them. And I mean, we're those old school fans, I would say, I guess.
We are
For those
now,
coming
actually.
to, yeah, we are the old school fans
What's
now.
we here for? We're officially unks,
Never thought that day would come. Never thought
bro.
that day would come. But there's something about Gunther that I think within the next few years, when we start seeing some of these other guys retire, I really think that they're lining up Gunther. I don't want to say the next big thing in WWE, but I think he's going to be the next big superstar that they create.
No, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Like,
You know,
literally, that's it.
I think he's going to be the one who has like that Roman Reigns stature. Once he's like, because they've already had him be so dominant within the company on the main roster alone, 80%. Nobody else has a percentage like that. I mean, aside like not just a winning percentage, but holding a championship while on the main roster,
My bad.
80% or more.
This asshole was chewing on my microphone cord. So
Oh, wow. Little cutie.
that's bonus.
Oh.
AKA BoJ Simpson. But yeah, that's like, and let's be like, there are no streaks like that. Like, no one has, like, WWE is notorious for being 50-50 on everybody. You never win in your hometown. You lose on your fucking birthday. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like literally, like, no, like, name it. Like, look it up. Like, literally, you should look it up and see. Like, no one has this type of record like this, not in this era of wrestling. But
No,
really, not
not at
since
all.
John Cena's era, since the PG era on up. No one gets that.
No, and I think it'll be kind of interesting to see if Gunther gets to the finals and gets to John Cena. I think we know the outcome already of what
Right.
happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be a surprise to anybody
So
as
you
far
think
as
if it's
that
Gunther,
goes.
you think John Cena's then gonna lose the title at Survivor Series?
You know, I didn't even factor that in, that John Cena is facing Dominic Mysterio at Survivor Series War Games. For some reason, I don't see them having him lose like his last two matches. For some reason, I think they're going to give him the Survivor Series win, and then he just goes one on one with Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship,
And see, that's
if
why I
it's
don't think it
Gunther.
is,
But
because I think that's a step back for Gunther.
yeah,
What more could he do with the Intercontinental title? He's the longest reigning champ. Is it in
true.
history or just modern history? I think it might be history. He's the longest reigning champ.
Yeah, no, it's history.
Yeah. So I don't like that's why that's what kind of threw a monkey wrench in everything for me, like as far as what I had set up. So like if I think if John Cena wins, it's probably not going to be Gunther. If he wins the Survivor Series, I don't think it's going to be Gunther.
If he wins a Survivor Series, then who would you put as winning?
Melo, hopefully.
Okay. I would like Melo. If
Melo or Penta, which I know is never going to be Penta, but
yeah,
Penta's
I
one of my
think
favorite wrestlers. Like, those are my dark horse picks.
Penta gets past Finn Balor.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna happen.
I don't know what's going to happen after that for him, though.
No,
Because
I
he
don't either,
could.
because his style doesn't mesh with anybody else that's still in the tournament.
And that match, the winner gets Solo Sikoa.
Right.
You know, and Solo definitely doesn't have a style that Penta, works.
And Solo beat seen it already, hasn't he? Am I making that up?
I don't think you're making that up.
I think he did beat him, yeah.
Yeah. Now you got me wondering. I'm pretty positive he did get a win over him.
I'm almost not sure. Well, we got this thing called the internet where you can look things up, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Rusev versus Sheamus match will be good. But that's also like one of those. Now you start to eliminate more people who have history with him.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
I feel like it shouldn't have been Sheamus. I feel like Sheamus and Rusev should have been more of like a semifinal.
Yeah. Yeah, he did beat John Cena. He beat him in 2023 at the Crown Jewel.
Yeah. No shit.
Look at me knowing history and shit.
Yeah. I tend to forget about those Crown Jewels sometimes.
They're like, they're one-offs, they're out of continuity, like in a
yeah.
comic book.
Yeah. Like that's kind of why like I'm kind of curious how WrestleMania 43 is gonna go, because like the way they've done Crown Jewels in the past, I'm just like, oh, well, this will be interesting. Like they gotta follow some sort of storyline.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I know it's a like iffy thing, but like I'm not mad at these people for fucking getting that money, bro. Cause just if my thing is like it could either go to wrestling or it could go to some like genocide shit or some shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Go to right. Al-Qaeda. So take the let's us get some of that fucking money so it doesn't go somewhere bad.
And you know, there's a lot of fans that were upset about that, like especially like with CM Punk and stuff. I wouldn't go over there for blah blah blah. And I sat there and I'm like, yes, you would. If someone's throwing you seven figures to go over there and wrestle a 10-minute match. Dude, I'm ready.
And like, yeah, if you were an independent contractor still, yeah, you can make that decision. But when your job says we're moving somewhere, if you want your job still, this is where we're moving to, you're going to fucking go.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not, you can protest all you want, but that's still your employer and your place of employment. So you got to move.
Yeah. You know, so I'm just hoping, you know, that WrestleMania 43 is, top tier with, you know, follows like whatever's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
I wish they would do like the women's matches somewhere else, because like the fucking full blown like t-shirt and fucking sweatshirt under thing and shit and all that, like I like it throws me off. Like I like that's the one thing that does make me not want to watch it. Like they're not showing they like some of their shit is kind of revealing, like Rhea Ripley, and I get that, but like Do it somewhere else. Like, they've had WrestleMania shits at different places before at the same time. Do it somewhere else where the women could be themselves. It's fucking WrestleMania. That's when you're supposed to have the dopest fucking gear, the dopest interest and all that. And they got to come out like you're wearing your dad's t-shirt and shit when you were a kid. Like, what the fuck?
You know, like, I remember, like, I believe it was Tori during WWF Attitude. And then even Candice Michelle a couple of times had worn, like, the full body suits that, like, we're seeing over in Saudi Arabia and stuff. But, like, they can only customize their ring gear to so much of an extent in, like, one of those full body sort of suits. And it's just, like, the men can go out there without problem, wear whatever they want, basically, and it's not an issue. I mean, if you look at it, they're basically wrestling in underwear, you know?
Yeah.
But obviously, they have an issue still when it comes to women and, you know, being revealing. You know,
yeah, so, like I said, that's the only thing I don't get down with.
Yeah, and that is it can be frustrating, especially because, like, I'm somebody who appreciates, like, the custom ring gear, like when they do, like, the Marvel spinoff with stuff like that. And, you know, the
Easter eggs is, like, my favorite part.
Yeah,
like, being able to point out to people, like, because, like, my friends never really watch, but they do watch WrestleMania, like Royal Rumble and shit. And then me getting to point out stuff that a normal person wouldn't see because I'm a comic book fucking nerd, too, on top of everything. So,
right.
Like, yeah, that's one of the, like I said, that's one of the best parts. The gear, the interest is, like, having the live band play your fucking interest music and shit and all that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, like, yeah, I hate that shit. Them wearing the fucking wetsuits and shit.
Yeah. You know, and that's, like, one of my favorite things, especially because, like, after, like, if you play, like, the video games and stuff, you can go on WWE 2K and, like, download, like, the custom gears and stuff like that and set it to the superstars and stuff. And, like, you know, guys like Penta always do a phenomenal job when it comes to, like, you know, the special gear and everything. And do you think, you know, now that I brought it up, you know, we saw on Monday Rey Mysterio actually had the You Can't See Me patch logo, Cena's logo on his ring gear. Do you think we get anything sort of special out of Penta? Because he does a phenomenal job when he does gear.
Not really, because I don't think he has much history with Cena.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably have some dope gear. Like, I met him and Rey Fénix a couple years ago here at Rockstar Pro Wrestling, and, like, he literally had, like, 10 different fucking masks and shit in his bag and stuff. So, like, I don't think it'll be anything like Cena Central, but he'll pull something out for sure.
Yeah, you know. So I'm excited for the matches tomorrow. I know who I want to win, and the biggest one that I can see where we get a swerve, where we get one of these younger guys past the opening round, is Carmelo.
Yeah,
and even then,
with the Finn and fucking Penta, like, it's such a toss up because of the Judgment Day. Will they, won't they, like, in and out bullshit. So it's like, I can see it going either way. Like, I can see Penta winning because the Judgment Day fucked up, or see Finn winning because the Judgment Day got involved. You know what I'm saying? So, like, either way, it's like Penta and Melo are our only hope. Even though, shit, never mind. Penta's fucking damn near 42. So
yeah, he's straight up there. Melo's our only.
Yeah, Melo's, like, our only fucking hope of getting some fresh shit in there.
And, you know, I actually just thought about this. What if we see The Miz cost Melo?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many fucking toss-ups with that.
I just kind of thought about that because, like, he's still kind of feuding with The Miz. So, like, what if The Miz gets involved with this, with Carmelo and Bronson?
Like I said, I don't watch SmackDown a lot, but who's the heel in there? Is it Miz or is it Melo? Because I remember Melo, like, turning his back kind of on Miz and, like, stepping out of shit. So, like,
it's more of the Miz, I would say.
But then, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of fucking variables.
Like, I feel like they still kind of got, like, Carmelo is, like, an in-between. Like, he can be good or bad right now. And I think in this situation with this match, they're going to have him more of the good guy against Bronson Reed. and fans are going to be cheering for Carmelo because no one wants to see Bronson go.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of variables really against Carmelo because Bronson has backup.
Yeah.
Carmelo's also feuding against The Miz. Like, it
that's the thing. War Games piece is what gives me pause to cause in favor of Melo because, like you said, it's too close to fucking War Games. You know they're all going to be in the building because it's the go-home. It's the go-home. No, War Games is next week, ain't it? Yeah, it's next Saturday.
Yeah, it's the 29th.
So we got another SmackDown. See, that's another thing, too. Now, you know what I'm saying? I thought we were closer to that. So that's another thing. It's not really on top of War Games yet.
Yeah, no, this weekend is AEW Full Gear.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. Which Justin went to Dynamite, and then he's going to Full Gear also.
I haven't been to an AEW show yet. I'm going to try and catch it next time they come to Cincy.
You know what? I will say this. I've been to a couple, and the wrestling is always phenomenal. There's no question about it. Right. It's always great wrestling. I just wish like fans were more receptive to it. You know, but I feel like wrestling overall, everything's kind of down. I don't know, like, if we're, like, because we get into the holidays, you know, the holiday seasons or, you know, I mean, WWE's case right now, you know, we're talking about this tournament and, you know, the old guys now, you know, we're that old we're the older fans. We're kind of not exactly happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's an issue, you know, that WWE faces compared to other sports. Right. NFL, you have the sport, you know, everything is like team organized in this and that. Here we have an array of things that are different. Like the NFL doesn't have storylines where WWE does. If our team doesn't give us what we want, like the New York Giants, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
and they lose and we're mad. WWE, it's a whole different like path for a win-loss is as far as stuff like that goes. There's twists and turns and all sorts of different, you know. So, and the thing is as wrestling fans, we're always going to be our own worst enemies. And this tournament is a perfect example because when John Cena said there's going to be people from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, there's going to be people who are like, you know, surprise mystery opponents and things like that. Fans instantly started jumping to names like Chris Jericho because they know that, you know, he hasn't been wrestling in AEW and that at some point his contract is up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tony Khan revealed, nah, it's not up to the end of the year. He, you know, it's not going to happen. People instantly thought Edge and we had hope because he's, you know, went off to do season 3 of that TV show on Sci-Fi and then he's filming a movie, you know, so fans had hope. I feel like
we're doing like ourselves said, a little bit. That's what I'm saying. We did it towards none of those things were realistic in any way, shape, or form.
And then
the Jericho one, maybe there was a slight chance because his contract is up in like a month or some shit. But the rest of that shit, there was no chance of hell fucking they're going to let Edge, who's one of their bigger stars and bigger baby faces that, and somebody that they signed away from WWE and everything. Like, why would they let him go back? Like, like I said, at this point, their relationship is so contentious. Like, there's no back and forth. They're going to help each other. Like, it's not happening. Like you said, we did this to ourselves. And it's also, too, like, even with the John Cena shit, turn a heel. Every time they give us what we want, we bitch and fucking complain about it and shit on it. And then we wonder why they don't give us what they want. Or it takes them, they're always a day late finally giving us what we want with things. Because every time they try and do it, we fucking shit on it.
Yeah, and that heel run just felt like we all wanted the heel run, right? Like I wanted to see it, but it felt way too forced. Like,
The Rock, they should have never included The Rock and Travis Scott and all that dumb shit, and then completely abandoned it.
Yeah, that like off into the abyss, never to be talked about again.
Yeah, like that was if they had kept them involved, I think we would have got a little bit more out of it and they might have been able to turn the page, but completely just like making them fucking disappear. Like Travis Scott literally fucking busted fucking Cody Rhodes' eardrum and shit. Like, why was there no get back or anything? Like,
Yeah, there was, it was just one of those false things that, you know, you're not mad, you're just disappointed at this point.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel about it. And that's almost how I feel about this tournament. I'm not mad,
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed. You know,
I'm not honestly. Like I said, like, 'cause there's so many other ways they could have fucked this up. Like, I'm not mad at the tournament. I would have felt better about it if John Cena really was like the fucking commissioner, like in, acting like NCAA commissioner and shit, like pulling the fucking names out of hat. We had a fucking first to get in, all that type of shit like that, like a real like March Madness type fucking bracket for it. He's picking. We have the NXT side, Raw side, SmackDown side, independent or like surprise, or you know what I'm saying, people that aren't really signed. Like, that would have been fucking dope to me if they, like, if you're gonna do the tournament, go full fucking force with the tournament. And then we have the finals is a person from NXT, person from SmackDown, person from Raw, and then a person that's not signed or not affiliated with the company. Boom, there you
Yeah,
go.
right. And you and I want to add to that because I really like that idea. I would say, you know how like they have the WWE ID and they have WWE Evolve?
Yeah.
Take, hear me out on this. Take 10 men from WWE ID. Take 10 men from WWE Evolve. And I know that they used mostly Raw and SmackDown for the tournament because that's all they used for the shows.
Right.
Have that, have a battle royal with the 10 and 10. The winner of the battle royal gets into the tournament and have it on
Yeah,
NXT.
that's what I'm saying. Like that's how the NCAA is first to get in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to
You
win
know,
this a play in to get into the play in. Like, or they should have did Raw versus SmackDown, and then NXT versus Evolve and the ID guys.
yeah.
And then that way you get a legit person that went through the gauntlet to fucking get there.
Yeah, and you can and then at the end you seemingly just have a younger generation versus the older generation for the finals and go from there.
And then you get what
And
John Cena promised.
yeah. And I also want to know how much say John Cena had in these names that are in the tournament now, or that, you know, and the ones that were eliminated.
I think he had a pretty big hand in it. Because, like you said, it's all the people that he had real, not just so much that he had history with, but it's all people he had moments with. Sheamus beat him for the title. He's the youngest champion in history. Rusev and him feuded over the fucking US title. Rusev came to the fucking ring in a tank and shit. The
Yeah.
Miz actually beat him at WrestleMania. Like, and I think the young guys that he picked were the guys that he liked.
I agree with that. I agree
Because
with
like
that.
the younger dudes like Melo and Javonna, it's not like they're NXT champions or like these guys are like even mid-carders. Like, they're still coming up. Penta too. And Finn. They're both like low-level mid-card guys. Like, I think it was the guys that I think they probably gave him a pool of young guys and a pool of veterans to pick who he wants. And I think he was picking people that we could probably have a dope match with. Because honestly, everybody in the tournament, he's had great matches with. Like, as much as Cena fucking sucks and the five moves of doom and all that shit, he's actually had bangers with everybody that's in the tournament except for the younger guys, the Penta, the Finn, Gunther, Javon, and Melo. Like, those, like half the tournament he's had bangers with, and I think the other half was people that he thought or that he thinks he can have a banger with.
I'd love to see him against Javon. That'd be an amazing match.
Yeah, that would be fucking dope.
Yeah.
Because
What do
then,
you?
and two, like, I love that Javon's not as small as you think he is. Like,
Oh,
he's
yeah.
actually a big fucking. Him and Dom both are actually, like, even Dom, like, I knew Dom was bigger, but when he's fucking eye to eye with Cena, maybe even a little bit taller than Cena, if Cena had him orthopedics on, like, they're bigger than what you think they are, which to me, I think is also too why they're kind of behind him because they're not the little shrimp guy, so it don't look. It don't like even with Melo, I think like that's Melo's biggest holdback is he's fucking like 5'10, 5'11. But he still has that it and that charisma that can kind of overcome that. But that's the thing that I like that and I think that they like too is that they're both you can see them going against like Gunther and all these bigger dudes and it not look like think like, come on, bro. Like with Ray. Like we love Ray, but some of that shit like I beat the shit out of Ray Mysterio, bro. I choked the fuck out of his little ass, bro. I Bam Bam, like when Bam Bam Bigelow threw fucking Spike Dudley in the crowd, like I would do that to Ray's little ass, bro. 5'4", 120 pounds, bro. I've smoked that motherfucker, bro.
They're like, in the WCW World War III when the giant picked him up with one hand and just tossed him
literally.
To the top rope.
Yes, exactly. Nah. It's like picking up one of my little brother or some shit, bro.
So, outside of the tournament, we've been seeing John Cena wrestle as many dates as they've had him on. What have you thought of like his matches, especially like with guys like AJ Styles, you know, going on his way out that he's had?
I think there's some of the best matches that he's had, honestly. Because I think a lot of it is he's free. He knows it's over. So he can let it all hang out. He can try shit he wanted to try. To me, my favorite match is the one versus him and Logan Paul. All the shit they did, I know it's a fucking spot fest, but it showed how good Logan Paul really is, and it showed that John Cena still has it if he wants to, and could keep going if he has to, but he doesn't want to.
Yeah, and he's got more than the five moves of doom this time around.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love watching him hit like all these new moves he hasn't done before, and you know, watching him pay homage to those that he's not going to be able to wrestle, like seeing him do like Baron Corbin's finishing move, seeing him do like Edge's stuff. It's been so cool. It's been so cool to watch him do that. And man, I don't know. Like it's gonna be weird when December 13th hits, Saturday night main event, when that final match happens. It's gonna be a weird moment.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel, honestly. Like I said, because like we said in the beginning, like, I never liked him, but I appreciate him, and I know what he meant to the sport.
Yeah.
And to a whole era and to a whole fucking generation of kids. You know what I'm saying? Like Hulk Hogan. Like, I don't fuck with Terry, but I know Terry's one of the reasons why I watch wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel either. Like, I know when Triple H was done, like, it was – I had to take a couple days off. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So like I said, like I don't know. Like I'm interested too to see how I feel when it's said and done.
And I'll admit, I was not a Cena fan either. I compare him to the popularity of Hulk Hogan. But I was a kid when Hulk Hogan was wrestling. So like Hulk Hogan was like the biggest thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Now I'm viewing it as an adult watching someone with like more popularity than Hogan in pro wrestling, I would say.
Yeah. And people don't want to admit that, but it's true because of the internet and how widespread wrestling can get. Like people like, I argue with a couple like, no way. I'm like, yes, he is. Like he may not have, maybe he didn't have the cultural effect, as big a cultural effect as Hogan did, but there was no fucking Twitter. There was no fucking WWE network. Like, Cena's reach is far greater than Hogan's ever was.
Yeah. And for, you know, Cena has just been out of this world. And he's still doing Make-A-Wishes. And he did Make-A-Wishes after Monday Night Raw. He did more. You know, he's the most requested. He's done the most Make-A-Wish. I hope he continues doing that.
No one's ever going to break that record.
No, I hope he continues doing it, to be honest with you. I hope he continues doing the Make-A-Wish stuff, especially considering he's still the most requested person for kids.
Think about that. The most requested person. Not throw him in somewhere like, hey, John Cena. Go. No. Requesting. These are kids that are terminally ill, like could die or will die and all that. Like, and the last person in the world they want to meet and who they want to meet the most is John fucking Cena.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't even want to argue with people that like, bro, what kid's about to die? Like, let's see Hogan. No, motherfucker, they want to see Cena.
Yeah, because in Hogan's day, he wasn't the most requested.
No.
You know?
It was fucking Knight Kip and Knight Rider and shit. Dave Hasselhoff and shit, bro. I'm not even joking. Like, I swear.
You know, so the fact that it's, you know, the fact that Cena has that and has broken that record and all the things he has done, you know, not just for pro wrestling, but outside of pro wrestling, mentioning that, it's incredible. So I don't know how I'm going to feel, because like I said, as an adult, I felt differently about who, you know, this, that, you know, that generation's, you know, most popular wrestler was.
Right.
And I felt different as an adult because, like, here this guy is catering to kids and this and that. And I'm like, well, I'm an adult. This guy doesn't do shit for me.
Nothing at all.
And, you know, now I know how my parents felt when fucking Hulk Hogan was on TV.
Yeah.
Now I know how they felt, because they're like, I'm an adult watching this guy. Like, I don't care. But, you know, look at my 5-year-old son. He's going crazy.
My nephew, this is when I knew, like, this shit, not when I knew, but like when Cement, my brother and sister-in-law got me tickets to SmackDown last summer or the summer before, I guess. And my nephew's getting into wrestling now, right? They got us the meet and greet shit and everything like that. Full blown, like, because it was like them thanking me for some stuff and me taking my nephew, like, they were hyped to do it. Like, I appreciate it. Did the meet and greet, found out Rey Mysterio wasn't there. He's head to toe in John Cena gear and with a Rey Mysterio mask on. Those are his two favorite rappers. Then he finds out the show's going on. First, the pyro scares the shit out of him. He tosses popcorn to everyone, the lady in front of us. They all loved it, though. And then all this stuff going on. We're like 30 minutes into the show. He was like, hey, I forgot to ask you, Uncle. Is John Cena going to be here? I was like, nah, buddy. He don't really wrestle like that. He was like, well, I thought we came to wrestling to see John Cena. I was like, no, we just came to wrestling to see the show. He was like, so John Cena's not here and Rey Mysterio? Because Rey had just got hurt. So he's like, and Rey Mysterio's not wrestling tonight? I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm calling my mom to come get us. And he did. She came and got us, bro. I was like, fuck it. I'll leave too, man. Fuck it. I understand that.
Yeah.
Bro, he was 6 years old. He was like, so you mean to tell me Rey Mysterio and John Cena ain't fucking here? He was like, it's time for us to fucking go. And this is a 6-year old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. I couldn't make this shit up, man.
Man, Eddie.
I left with him. I was like, you know what, man? Fuck it, man. Let's ride.
Wow. Crazy. My parents would have made me sit there and watch the whole damn show.
Oh, if I had paid for it, I would have let him leave on his own. Like, hey, bro, come pick this motherfucker up at the door. But I didn't pay for it, so I was like, fuck it.
Right? Oh, wow. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we were at the Nutter Center here in Ohio at Dayton. And so we were like a couple hundred feet away from the stage and stuff. And like, they don't do the actual like pyro. They just do like the cannon thing.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of him, bro. I knew he was done after that. Like, I was like, well, wait, I don't know. Maybe he's going to get over. Maybe he, no Cena, no Ray. And they maybe about shit my pants with that fucking cannon. Like, let's get out of here.
Oh, God, that's great. So, if they didn't do this Last Time Is Now tournament, how would you have handled John Cena's retirement match? Like, if they didn't do any of this,
I would have went pedal to the metal on his heel turn.
Yeah.
I would have just leaned into it.
Had him retire as a heel?
Yeah, or do a turn in the match.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Because his whole career, they've been iffy. We've been iffy on let's go Cena sucks. So if you went balls to the wall on the heel shit, you would have got that. And it would have been the perfect nostalgia fucking tour of John Cena back. Because some people would have loved it eventually. And some people would have hated it. So we would have been right back where we were with Cena to begin with. Let's go Cena sucks. All the way to the end where you do the turn. And then he gets the love and adoration and shit and everything and rides off into the sunset.
That would have been perfect.
That's it.
But as I always say, WWE is going to WWE.
Always.
And WWE'd this.
Always. Always.
And you know, fans, we have two matches to finish out the opening round of the Last Time Is Now tournament on Friday with Carmelo Hayes taking on Bronson Reed and Finn Balor taking on Penta on SmackDown. And then after that, we will start the quarterfinals, which we see Rusev versus Sheamus, Jey Uso versus LA Knight. Gunther will take on the winner of Bronson Reed and Carmelo Hayes, and Solo Sikoa will take on the winner of Finn and Penta.
Is that like set up for real, or is that
That's the setup.
Okay, I haven't seen the bracket yet, because at the first round of them, they didn't have a bracket out. Okay, WWE.
They basically still don't have a bracket, but that's how it's
been. Oh, okay.
That's how it's going.
Gotcha.
And I think that's to take, because if you look at it, I look at it from that perspective, Penta's the face. Penta's going to go against Solo.
Yeah.
You really have like a heel and a tweener when it comes to Carmelo and Bronson. And that's why, like, that's why I'm leaning towards Hayes, because Bronson's heel, and then you got Gunther, who's a heel. That ain't gonna work. Yeah. WWE don't like doing heel versus heel stuff. Which and is I don't know why, like, either.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the thing I hate about that shit too. Like, bro, two dickheads can get in a fight and it's okay. And yeah, you just pick the least big asshole in the fight. Like, it's like it happens in the real world all the time. Bad people go against bad people all the time. Mafia, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Hitman. Like, it happens.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, they're afraid to do that. And I just don't understand it. Like,
never understood that.
You can totally blur the lines with heel versus heel and face versus face. There's no reason to there's no reason that you got to have it always be a good guy versus a bad guy. It's just that doesn't make sense to me.
So, no, and in the midst of the match, you're going to see who the face is anyway.
Yeah.
Because the crowd's gonna get behind somebody.
Yeah, the crowd's gonna cheer for somebody in that circumstance. So that's the setup for the quarterfinals, and then, from there, Sheamus will take on the winner of Jey Uso and LA Knight, I believe, and then, whoever wins those two matches, and then I believe it's the two matches, the matches from SmackDown will face each other. So kind of like a Raw and SmackDown thing, seemingly, is what's left, because that, you know, there's no NXT now. The one NXT person we had is gone,
right?
And the two mystery opponents are gone. Like, this is the other thing. This is the last gripe I have that I'll talk about this tournament. How is it that you tease two mystery opponents, but you can't have one of the mystery opponents move on? I know we've talked like they're not in the company actually or anything like that, but like they were in the company. They have, you know, they have a lot, you know, they have history with John Cena. It just would have made sense to have one of those surprises move on.
But again, you already said it. WWE is going to WWE.
Yeah, they're going to WWE. And they did. They WWE'd the whole thing for me.
If it makes too much sense, they're not going to do it.
Yeah. The more logical it is, they're like, no, we have to go right now. We're going left.
Yeah.
You know?
What if instead of we turned left, we went right, jumped over that barbed wire fence, ran through a campfire, and then walked through wet cement? Maybe we do go that route. They always do. Like I said, like, it's not even that I'm a cynical wrestling fan anymore. It's just I'm not going to let them get my hopes up for me to be mad and not enjoy watching the sport that I love. Maybe the most out of any entertainment form.
Yeah, seriously. Like I said, I watched fans on the internet, you know, say, you know, going for like ridiculous names. I mean, Alberto Del Rio was one of the names I saw at one point too, that fans were hoping were going to be in the tournament.
Which, I mean, that one is more realistic than any of them, because he was AAA and shit or whatever. Like, if any of them, like, I know it sucks. Like, that's probably the most realistic one out of all of them.
And, like, if you look back through Cena's history, there's not a lot of people that you could go and pick that, you know, had those monumental moments. Some of them can't wrestle anymore, and they're just retired.
Yep.
Some of them don't, you know. Then there's guys like The Rock, you know, that's not happening. And then you just kind of, you know, you're kind of left with the, okay, well, who was like on the younger side that he wrestled while here that we could, you know, call?
Sheamus. That's it. I mean, Sheamus and Rusev. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because remember, and they're Sheamus not even was, that young. Was the youngest. Yeah, well, at the time they were, like you said, who was young back then? It was Sheamus. He was the youngest champion of all in history.
Yeah, you know, because Zack Ryder's close to 40. Dolph Ziggler, I believe the same thing. He's either 39 or 40
mid
already. 40.
I think he's mid 40. I think he's a little bit older than us.
So, you know, granted that those guys are older, they were younger when they worked with Cena and stuff. It just, you know, there's no one for them to like really, you know, reach out to.
Yeah. No, there you is.
Know? You know, so I think Ryder and Ziggler were good picks, but again, they should have been swapped on the days they wrestled. It would have helped Ryder get more of a pop if he was in Madison Square Garden. But hey, Ziggler had a hell of a pop. I'm not going to knock it. I thought he did great. It was a great match, but I don't know. I didn't want Solo. I thought Ziggler. If it was either going to be Ziggler or Ryder to get the W to move on to the quarterfinals, I'd say Ziggler, honestly. And if you know me, I'm a huge Zack Ryder fan. Matt Cardona, big fan.
Yeah.
But Ziggler, you know, had the better pop. And that's where I would see him moving on. But they didn't do that. And that kind of sucks. So, well, fans, I hope that while listening and or watching, you have taken our thoughts in, considered everything we brought up, and you'll be able to comment in the comment section on Facebook at facebook.com/perchedonthetoprope. You'll be able to comment on Instagram. It's Perched on the Top Rope Podcast, and on X at Perched Top Rope. You'll be able to comment. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think of the Last Time Is Now tournament. How has WWE handled it in your eyes? We want to hear from you in the comment section, so let us know. You'll also be able to comment on YouTube at youtube.com/perchedonthetoprope. And fans, from our end and myself, we want you to remember, spoiler freeze, the way to be. And WWE is going to WWE. We're out.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.